Before we open our Bibles to look at the Word of God together, I'd ask you if you would bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we reflect on this tragedy that was for us a victory, we are reminded that it was for our sins that Jesus died, and that our sin made monsters of men, that we were once monsters, that we were wandering far from your fold until Jesus came and sought us where we had wandered and sweetly drew us in. And as we take this time to reflect on the madness that exists in men's heart, that they would deny the God who made them, would seethe with anger and hatred toward the Messiah who came to save. We pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and our minds to this, that you would clear away our native feebleness and absent-mindedness, and enable us, Lord, to look with seriousness at this grim picture that the Scripture paints of man's sinful condition. We pray in Jesus' name. I would ask if you would please turn with me in your Bibles this evening to John chapter 8. Before our Good Friday meditation, I'd like to present to you this passage beginning in verse 33. It said, Jesus answered, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. He answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So on this day that we commemorate as Good Friday, we recall that Jesus, the Son of God, was condemned to death. For what crime? He came into this world and told the truth, and it was for that truth that Jesus was condemned to death on the cross, and we marvel at it. We marvel that men who were created in His image and likeness and by His word are stirred to such hatred towards Him that they could not see clearly and plainly what was right in front of them, that He was and is the King of glory. And so they condemned Him to die. They couldn't see it because they were spiritually blinded. That they had been blinded by their father, the devil, even as we all, too, were once blinded. We came into this world blinded by sin. And would have remained in that blinded condition had God not had mercy on us, taken away that blindness, and given us a new nature, a new spirit, whereby we are able to receive the words of God. Jesus says of these Jews here that they are liars, and that they are of their father the devil, that he is a liar, and that he is the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. All his temptations, all of the malice and wickedness that Satan perpetrates on this world, he carries out by calling evil good and good evil, by promising freedom in sin. He is the author of lies, whom liars resemble and obey, with whom all liars shall have their portion forever with him in that lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And the special lusts of the devil burn in the hearts of the natural man. Spiritual wickedness, the lusts of the mind, the corrupt reasonings, the pride of life, the envy and wrath and malice and hatred towards what is good and enticing others to evil. These are the things that the evil one is able to easily stir up in the hearts of those who are his children. In this event that we're reading of this evening, we see that Jesus admits what these Jews are claiming, that in fact they did have Abraham for their father. He admits their pedigree, but denies that they have the substance of those claiming Abraham's lineage. In essence, they are Ishmaels and Esaus. They have Abraham's DNA in their blood, but not his spiritual nature, not his love for God and God's ways. And as such, they have, as Jesus says, no room for the Word of God, which is to say they have no room for our Lord, because He is the Word of God incarnate. They had no room for Him because their hearts, like the hearts of every natural man born into this world, were filled up with the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Those are the things that fill a man with wickedness, or at least make him ready for wickedness. You take a person out of the protective environment of structure and accountability and see how quickly they shirk off all moral restraint. This is evidence of the true nature that is in a man. Sadly, we are seeing precisely this all around us in this world with the phenomenon known as ISIS. Around the world, there are Muslims who have settled in all kinds of different nations and countries and amongst all different kinds of people. And they've lived in those lands for generations at peace with their neighbors, many of whom are Christians, atheists, moderate Muslims. But we are seeing how quickly they can become radicalized when the fundamentalist Muslims move into their area and begin to preach the violent interpretation of the Quran that accompanies ISIS and serves and feeds its appetite. But what is evident in this phenomenon we know as ISIS is the same thing we witness in this account before us this evening. Without the Holy Spirit of God making room in a man's heart to receive the Word of God, a man's native lusts put him at odds with the teaching of Jesus and the nature of the kingdom of God, so that man's nature is one of enmity and violence towards the kingdom of God, and that even if outwardly they look peaceable, Inwardly, they are seething with hatred towards God. Jesus said in verse 37 here, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Jesus is saying that they have no room for his doctrine. They have no room for his teaching, the principles of the religion that he is teaching them. He is saying, in essence, you have not the spirit of my doctrine. You hate it, and therefore you seek to kill me. Though they claim to be Abraham's descendants and therefore privy to that covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant blessings that God promised to Abraham that he would make of him the father of many nations, and that in him all of his children, his descendants, would be blessed, yet by their spirit, by their conduct, they show themselves to be imposters. For them, the sign of the covenant was not a sign of blessing. It is a sign of cursing. The blessing belongs only to those who merge faith with the sign, which becomes evident in that they do the deeds that Jesus told them to do. These people are not doing that. That is why the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear in Galatians chapter 3 that Abraham is the father of the faithful, when he says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen in your father. These Jews challenged Jesus. He said, Abraham is our father. Trying to make him back off, trying to make him change what he is saying. What do we see? Did Jesus back off? Did he tone it down? No, he came back and he turned the heat up. He said, you do what you have seen with your father. No political correctness here. No fear or intimidation ruling in his heart that he might offend someone. That's exactly what he intended. We live in the midst of a culture that has become so hypersensitive that it demands that it can engage in all kinds of moral depravity and excess and licentiousness without ever a word being spoken against it. Jesus was not afraid nor ashamed, and he confronted them with the harsh reality that they definitely were not Abraham's children. Jesus said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, saying in essence, my Father is God, and I declare to you His mind, His will, not uncertain things, not whimsical, fanciful things, but what I have seen when I was with Him, what I certainly know to be His will and His truth and His mind and His eternal decree. You declare by your actions who is your father. I do my father's will and what he teaches me to do. And so you do the works of your father who is the devil. Jesus not only confronted them in their sin, he condemns them for it. And this is the aggravation of the Jews' sin. Not only did they not accept or believe the words of Jesus, Jesus is saying that they are not accepting or believing the words of the one whom they are claiming is their father. He said, I came from him. This one you're trying to say is your father, I came from him. And these words I'm speaking, they are the words I heard from him when I was in his presence. And so it is with all sinners. When they are confronted with the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ that is told them by some human mediator? They are not only rejecting the human mediator, they are rejecting the God whose gospel it is. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And of course, Jesus means here the devil, which he says plainly just several verses further. Had they actually seen the devil? Had they actually witnessed his works? Not directly, but certainly indirectly. For this whole world lies under the spell of the evil one. So that what we see all around us, what we witness all around us, they are the works of the devil, you can be sure. It is as if they had close and intimate consultation with him. As if they took their marching orders directly from him, their plan of operation from him, and had him continually before them as their example and the pattern for their lives. You do what you have seen with your father. And they answered him, Abraham is our father. Again they said this, Abraham is our father. They are insisting what Jesus is denying, that Abraham is not their father in truth. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And what work is Jesus referring to here? What work did Abraham do and not do? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was made righteous by faith. Abraham believed God. These Jews are not believing God. They are clearly disbelieving. There is no room in their hearts for the Word of God nor the character of God. Outwardly, there's some semblance of righteousness. Inwardly, they are seething with hatred, which is manifested now here in Jesus' presence in that they want to kill him. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. The worst thing they could conceive that Jesus was saying was that they were illegitimate sons and not legitimate. Because if that were the case, then Abraham's blessing would not belong to them. But they were so certain, so sure, that Abraham's covenant was towards them. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth to him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Satan prompts men to excesses by which they murder themselves. They murder others because what he puts in their hearts by way of suggestion and example is ruinous to their souls. It damns them to hell, eternal death, as well as the souls of all those whom they influence. Satan is the great promoter of all falsehood. Wherever there is falsehood, it is of the devil who is the father of falsehood. He is a liar. All his temptations are carried out by calling evil good and good evil, by promising freedom in sin. He is the author of all lies, whom liars resemble and obey, and with whom all liars will have their portion forever and ever. These men are filled with the lusts of the devil, the special lusts of spiritual wickedness, the lust of the mind, the corrupt and enticing corruptions that fill their hearts, which see through their beings, to which they try to entice others. But Jesus said, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Because I told you the will of God, that salvation has come to all men through Jesus Christ, it was that truth that Jesus came preaching, of which the Jews opposed. And in such a beautiful display of the power of God and the wisdom of God, we see that God used the wickedness of men to accomplish His eternal purpose and divine will. And even as these men could scarcely contain their jubilation, their exultation, in that they were plotting to put the King of Glory to death, and eventually did. But while they were rejoicing, heaven too was rejoicing. Heaven was rejoicing because it was by His death that Jesus vanquished our sin, our death, and that very soon He would rise triumphant over the grave. And so Jesus said to these Jews, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." And so, dear ones, I would ask you this evening, have you heard the word of God? If so, it will be evident in your life. It will be evident in that you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ. But if you will not hear the words of God, if there is no room in your heart for what Christ is saying, then His word does not abide in you any more than it abided in these Jews. And you too have only the certain and fearful expectation of eternal damnation, which will come upon all those who die in their sins. And all God's people said, amen. Will you please bow your heads with me? Dear God, we consider once again that we were not good people that Jesus made better. We were wicked people that Jesus made righteous. And that righteousness was an imputed righteousness, a righteousness that was not our own, but that it was His. That it's credited to us by faith in Him. I pray, Father, that each one here this evening who has heard these words, that they truly would repent of their sins and be born again, that none would leave this place still dead in their trespasses and sins. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.